says, points out that he compares money that a mazik has that should be paid to a nizik is similar to the money that a ganav has that should be paid to the nigzal. Miri says that just like there's a mitzvah v'hashivosa of the nigzal, not neishosa, the yeshivos egzela, when it comes to the ganav, the gazlan. So the Meiri says that there's a similar idea when it comes to the mazik. Okay, without going into that, ha'or of the Meiri with great depth, because that's the sugya, what is the obligation of the mazik? But Effie said that supports what we said yesterday in the Meiri, that part of that there is a sort of a masa of compensation. That compensation when it comes to the mazik is not simply restoring the nizik, not simply making amends, let's put it that way. Not simply fixing a mess that you created. Right? You can look at it that way. Created a mess, I fix it up. Alright? So you could say, so the Meiri seems to say that it's more than that. That it's part of, just like the ganav, there's a mitzvah in the Torah for the ganav to walk back the maisa geneva, it becomes a lava nitik lase. So the Miri doesn't say it's an equation, but it's similar. So that would support what we said yesterday, that in this particular din of Shum Kesef, the Miri spells out that there has to be some masa ashova. There has to be some masa of compensation. And for the mazik to be able to walk away because he suffered hezek afterward, so that doesn't satisfy the requirement of the mazik. Because my nizik messed himself up by also becoming a mazik and being mazik me, and therefore incurring a debt with respect to me. So now it's a wash. I'm off the hook. So that means I never get to do a mas hashava. That's what we pointed out in Miri yesterday. That's the Chiddush of Shum Kesef according to Miri. And that's what we related to the Rambam, that there is a Shem Mazik until a person takes care of it. Right, so we, again, as we pointed out yesterday, at the very end of yesterday's shir, so we suggested there are different ways in which one could build upon what we pointed out in the Miri and in the Rashi and in Hananel. The point at the very end of the shir was that there isn't enough information in the Meiri to actually build that next step. But what you get to see is that when you understand the halacha b'daikonos, when you read the Rishon carefully, and you develop what the Rishon's saying, so then that opens up different ways of looking at the halacha from a deeper way. More, I wouldn't say ashkofa, the ashkofa just falls out. And I said yesterday, you could, once you have this concept, you can take it in many directions. I don't know how the Miri would say that it's a question of making up for an Issa that was done, whether it's a form of kapara, whether it's a deterrent. That's all open. But when you understand the halacha carefully, so then it opens up these ideas. Good. Let's spend a little bit of time looking at the Ramban. So we've pointed out many times, the Ramban is Ramban al-Chumash, the Chassam Sofer said, is one of the primary Sifrei Hashkof of Klal Yisrael. Where can I find it? There we go. Laniyas Daiti, you can speak at length at a different time, is that in the different orientations that the Ramban and the Rambam had. So when it comes to Hashkafa, there isn't a sort of a kvius with Klal Yisrael. But it seems that over the centuries, in the debate that the Rambam and Ramban had, there is certainly more of an atiyah towards the Ramban's approaches. The Ramban in this week's parsha has three very important ha'aras. Three major pieces of his mahalach. One we discussed last year, and unfortunately has become increasingly more important, and a more important part of the chinuch that we have to have, and that is that the Ribbono Shel Olam began, according to the Ramban, the first of the divros that the Ribbono Shel Olam expanded upon is that of Lisachmir. And so why does the Torah begin with Mishpatim? Seems to be the strangest place to begin. We only get to Shabbos at the very end of Mishpatim. Ramban says that the Parsha of Mishpatim is an expansion of the Aseret HaDibros. The very, very end of Parshas Yisro expands some of the Dibros, expands maybe Anochi, but certainly the greatest expansion, the greatest elaboration is on Momenus. Shabbos gets maybe, depends how you read the Psukim, one Pasuk for sure, maybe two or three Psukim. If you include Yom Tov, maybe four Psukim. Shemitah, maybe five Psukim. Right? Kibbutz Avayim gets one or two Psukim. In the very negative, not to beat one's parents, not to be makala one's parents. Shavuah gets a Pasuk in Mishpatim, maybe two or three Psukim, because you have in the course of Beis Din, but it's clear that Momenus is the majority of Mishpatim, and Momenus fits under Leis Achmir. So the Ramban explains that, it makes that point. It's Leis Achmir. It comes to us very strange, why Leis Achmir? So the emes is, we mekatzer, because we discussed this in the past, that is the mahalach of the Olam Yeshivas, right? To learn the Bavas, to learn the Zikin. Elamitzias, Ameniach, Hakoinis, the old Yeshiva Ketana Mahalach. Well, the old curriculum was 5th grade, Hascholos Kemoz Elamitzias. 2nd year was Hakoinis, Ameniach, Hamafkin was next. Then Hakoinis, Ameniach. And then Arbovish, Naimoichazin. It's all Elamitzias, and Hamafkin was even before Bar Mitzvah. So Rav Moshe explained that because the importance of appreciating that the money that a person has is money Kadosh Baruch Hu granted to me, and the money that I don't have is the money that Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't grant to me, that is a yesod that has to be drummed into people far more than Shabbos and Yom Tov and Muktzah. And that was the Mahalach of the Olam Yeshiva. Could be that the Rav used to explain that the Bavas, as you can appreciate from Bava Kama, that the depth and the ability to probe various Svaras is just richer in the Bavas. But that's what the Ramban was pointing out in a deeper level, that if a person's there are different ways in which a person expresses emunah and a person trains himself to be a ma'amin. So one is Shabbos and Yom Tov and learning. But the test of the strength of one's emunah is when a person comes up again Leis Achmir. When one has a deal and they could bring in and make one lots of money and make one's life very comfortable, can become very important in the eyes of many, many people. But it's sketchy. But it's not going to be, it may not be a yosher thing to do. So that moment is amuna lamaisa, halacha lamaisa. Do I really believe at that moment that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to determine how much money I get? So that amuna, I believe, is the test of that amuna. And the strength of the amuna is more than, even more than wiping up a wine stain off a white carpet in Shabbos. I think even more than that. That's probably the C of the test of Shmirah Shabbos. But are there other tests of Shmirah Shabbos? Certainly the test of Boirer and knowing the halachas very, very well. So, Kadosh Baruch Hu was saying, the first, I want to understand, Leisachmet is where the first Dibur give also of Shurim and the Yesedis of Munas Gevaldik. But when's halach, what's halach lamaisa? The most halach lamaisa. Leisachmet, Leisachave, and this is something that we, Bismaneinu Ono, have taken such a huge hit in the last 10, 20 years in terms of the reputation of firm people. Kadosh Baruch Hu understood what has to be first. The next very important piece in the Ramban's Mahalach and Chumash is how to resolve the end of Mishpatim with Parshas Yisrael. To the end of Mishpatim, we go back to discussing the korban that Klal Yisrael brought. We go back to discussing what is the source of Hilchos Geirus. So Rashi explains that the end of Mishpatim is a parallel parsha to Parshas Yisrael. And we in Parshas Yisrael, we start with the Rosh Chodesh Sivan, and then we track Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet, and we don't discuss Thursday and Friday. We don't discuss those 2 days of preparation. Really 3 days. And according to Rashi, that's what happened in the end of Mishpatim. Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ein Muktam U'Mukhar B'Torah. So we skip those days. We have Aseres HaDibros. Then we have the, what Kadosh Baruch Hu, what Moshe Rabbeinu taught Klal Yisrael, Mishas Yiridosai. Hard to figure that out exactly, how it fits with the ego. Right, there was a chayde ego. There was a fixing of the ego. Moshe went back up. Maybe it was only taught, according to Rashi, much later on. Not clear. But then, we go back to discuss Thursday and Friday, at the end of Parshas Mishpatim. Then, we discuss Truma Tetzava. Then we go back to discuss chayde ego. So you have to figure out why Kadosh Baruch Hu decided to disarrange, if that's a word, the Seder of the events. And the Ramban says, no, there's only one place with this Ein Muktam U'Mukhar Torah, where things are not in a chronological order, the beginning of Sefer HaMidbar, the Torah spells it out. But everything other than that, with very rare exception, is organized chronologically. And therefore the Ramban says that the events at the end of Mishpatim, they take place on the after Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from Har Sinai. So that's a very important piece. According to Rashi, to understand why it would be out of order, and according to the Ramban, to appreciate somehow to put together the end of Parshas Mishpatim, with then Truma Tetzava, it was all given before Matan Torah, or before Shas Matan Torah, let's put it that way. Good. Then there's a very, very prominent piece in the Ramban, which is often discussed at Siyumim and Simchas Torah, but it's worth looking at it just as a, when it's not being learned in such a directed way. So the Psukim say, after the korban was brought and after the blood was sprinkled, then they go up to Har Sinai. Vayirwas Elokei Yisrael, and they have a vision. What's the vision? They have a vision of the Ribbono Shel Olam, whatever that means. And they see two things in contrast. One is a beautiful building. They have a footstool. Sachas Raglov Kemase Livnas Hasapir. A brickwork, a sapphire brickwork structure. And they see a fantastically wide open sky. And the Ribbono Shel Olam did not strike out against the nobility. And they had this vision, and they ate and they drank. Sirashi's explanation is that Kadosh Baruch Hu did not strike out, that means he should have struck out at them. And why should he? Because they were mezalzel. They took a great moment and they made it into a party. Nistaklu ve'tzitzu v'nischaibu misa. It's one of those times when it came too close, saw too much. Right? Nerevi aviyu v'yema shmini. So nistaklu ve'tzitzu v'nischaibu misa. They saw too much. Elo shalei rotza kadosh baruch hu la'arvev simchas ha'torah. But it was a great day of simcha. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to mess it up. Didn't want to spoil a simcha. Fascinating. You know, in Klal Yisrael, the concept of not staring a simcha. See, where Klal Yisrael has a practice. Somebody's having a simcha. Something not so good going on. Tell them later on. So it's not some. It is a chesed. It is empathy. It is. But you see, it comes from the Hagas Habari. V'himtin l'ndonu v'yaviyu ad yoyim chanukas ha-mishkan. And Ndonu v'yaviyu's kirub, their closeness, their overstepping, really was born at this time. But Kadosh Baruch Hu said, let's wait till the chanukas ha-mishkan, and this kenim will wait till later on, the midbar, that has to be explained. Not now. Kemasa livna sasapir. What do they see? He hoyisa lefona b'shasa shivud lizkor tzerosin shel Yisrael. Shem ushubodim b'masa levonim, b'masa levenim. They had an understanding that we don't have. They were able to understand the Shibud. They were able to say, even B'shas HaShibud, the Ribbono Shel Olam was B'rachamav. There was a plan, there was what's called a master plan. Even B'shas HaShibud, Kadosh Baruch Hu was still Zeicher Mitzrosim Shel Yisrael. Was able to keep all the balls in the air. So the Netzili Yisrael had an understanding of the Shibud. Yeah. We hope that we'll get an understanding of the most difficult times of Klal Yisrael. Right? When Yosef at Tzadik said, Ha'oy Avichai, Ani Yosef Avichai, there was a havraka. All of a sudden, the brothers' chapter was going on. And they understood why they had to go through what they went through. These are all moments of gilui. So they had a moment of gilui, but apparently, according to Rashi, they overstepped themselves. They should have suffered. Why? It was a great moment, and they let it go by parting at the same time. It was a moment of great kedusha, great insight. Should have been a moment where, I'm not sure what they should have done, but one thing they shouldn't have been partying. That's the Rashi Mahalach. Again, Harba Yesh L'drosh L'Havin. The Ramban understands it very, very differently. The fact that the pasuk says that vayiru es Elokei Yisrael, what is the stress Elokei Yisrael? It says the pshat is because uzuchus Yisrael, aviem imoim, they had the zuchus of Yaakov Avinu to appreciate this. Val derech haemes ki hizgir matan Torah v'damar lekim. Via Shekan Ro Elokei Yisrael, that they had an appreciation for, that a deeper appreciation for the Gilui Shechina of Matan Torah. V'yizkir b'hem zeh lomer sheyisigu hazakenim, that the zakenim saw b'maros el siyoser mishor ha'am shiro ala oretz es isha gdola. They had a greater insight than anybody else had. Could even be v'shas matan Torah. They just saw more. They appreciated more. Greater level of nevuah. V'latzili ben Yisrael, none of Aviv, because ne'etzol aleim ruchalikim. Greater insight from Kodesh Baruch Hu. Greater hashroah shechina. That's the lashon of hashroah shechina we have. V'tam le'sholach yad ba'avur she'omar ba'koinim va'om al yersu lalis al Hashem pen yifratz bom. That Kadosh Baruch Hu did not send out, did not punish them, he says, because they acted appropriately. They were right. They got it right. Just like Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Al Yerusu Lales, don't go too high in Har Sinai, Pen Yifrat Zvam, Hadiu Bekanshin Nizheru Bekach, Vulei Pars Ben Peretz, they did the right thing. Ki Hoyu Yisrael Ru'uyim L'masha Chozu. They didn't overstep. V'tam V'yuchlu V'yishtu, She'ochlu Shoma Shlomim, V'tach Nisahor, Lefnei Elekim, Terim She'eshuv El Aleyim, they ate the Shlomim properly, they just brought a Korban, V'yishtu, Batam Vayishtu Sosu Shaosu Simcha V'yomtiv. They celebrated. Ki Kain Choyva Lismayach Mekabolas HaTorah. Kashet Siva B'chsovim Kol Divri HaTorah Alavonim V'zavachta Shlomim V'chalta Shom Samachta. Later on, we go to Eretz Yisrael, we write Kol HaTorah Kula on stones in the Yarden, and it says V'somach L'Shem Lekecha. Uksiv b'shloimei, hachochma mada nosun loch, miyad v'yove yushloim miyaz mishtu l'chol avodim. Shlomo Melech, when he gets his nevuah, his chochma, he goes to Yushloim and makes a suda. V'omer v'lozim mikan sh'oisit mishtu l'gomer shul Torah. This is the source of making a Suda by Asiyam and making Simcha and Simcha's Torah. V'nemar b'David Aviv b'snadvam l'vinyan Beis HaMikdash, when we got all the material together, Beis HaMikdash. V'yizbuchu l'Hashem zivachim v'yalu oilois v'yochlu v'yishtu v'avkan b'yoyim chasuna satara kenos. Ramban says that this moment of eating was correct. It was a celebration of Simchas Torah, and it is our source for Simchas Torah and our source for Siyum. Right? That's the reason why this has become very famous. But we're going to point out right now, in a certain way, the Rav pointed out when he made a Siyum. I forget what it was. But it's published in the Sukkah. I don't think it was in Sukkah. I think it's published in the Sukkah. If you look carefully at this Ramban, what does not fit in this Ramban? The examples that he brings. Examples, the most glaring one is David HaMelech. When they made the party, what had they accomplished? It's not building a minyan base of Mikdash. Did David HaMelech build a base of Mikdash? So what have they accomplished? They had all the materials together. It's not building a minyan base of Mikdash. Now let's go back. What about Shlomo HaMelech? When he made his party. He made it the morning after. He just received all this information. Now, L'chaira, Shlomo HaMelech would have made a much bigger party after he had digested everything he learned, after he had worked to develop everything he learned. But he made the party at the very beginning. What about by Matan Torah? Had they learned the Torah four times already? This is the right time for the party. And the Ramban says that this is the source for making a party legomer shel Torah. So what's the Hezra Dover? How does the Ramban jump from the Ferker? There should be the Simchi make it the beginning of his man. After the Sforim sale, you buy all the Sforim the next month. All right, so then you have those make a part of the David HaMelech. How can the Ramban say that the party was done? The party Shlomo HaMelech made. So that's. Therefore, we make a party legomer shel Torah. So what's Hezra Dover? What's the Pshat Ramban? Go ahead.
Isn't the story about one of the Gay Rebbes that on
Simchas
Torah said that he was dancing not for the Torah
that he
learned, but for the Torah
that
he's
going to
learn?
I don't know if there's such a story. That's the Svar. Yeah. But it's a little bit sharper though. Go ahead, Zev.
The Gemara Shel Torah is really the beginning of the next reading of the Torah.
So L'chaira, but I would say it a little bit differently. I would say that when a person has learned a certain amount, so he looks back and he sees, what kalim do I have now to understand things better? But after we received, when David HaMelech put everything together, he now had all the kalim to do a base of Mikdash. When Shlomo HaMelech woke up with all of his ideas, he had all these ideas to be able to analyze, understand, confront whatever he wanted to confront. Right? A person finishes the Masechta. So we say Hadron. Right? We say now that we've finished Bava Kama, so now we can go through Bava Kama and understand it deeper and better. So the Ramban is saying that what we learn from this Simcha, this party, is that they were appropriate. They celebrated. They saw Mara, right? Seeing the Gili of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the way that the Gili that they saw through the Shibud Mitzrayim wasn't nearly as valuable as the way they would now apply this nevuah for future times. Understanding what happened, the depth of the value of understanding what happened is that now, if there'd be future tzaras, they would know, kevase livnas asapir. No, these tzaras of Kadosh Baruch Hu is watching. They would know that these tzaras, it's hard for us to say. We are so far from understanding these things. It's hard for us to even express that Sheba and Tzaras could be lived in the south here. We don't get it. Can't even say the words. But you can imagine that if a person would have that kind of an insight, then the equanimity of the Yeshiva Das, not that he would lose empathy, is the insight, the ability to maintain his emuna, the depth of his emuna. So what they celebrated then, the Ramban says, what were they celebrating? Not like Rashi says, he disagrees with the Rashi. Rashi says that they had this tremendous moment of ruchnius and didn't try to bottle up and grab it. No, they did do that. They celebrated not that they had this new idea, but they celebrated the koyach, the tools that Hakadosh Baruch Hu has given them going weiter. And Ramban says, and that's the real Simchas HaTorah. The real Simchas HaTorah is not that you pat yourself on the back and you say, oh, I finished Shnayim Mikra another time around. Right? The real Simchas HaTorah is, now that I've gone through Me'alef Atov, I hit the Varim, so the next time I go through Brachos, I look at it differently. I'm a much different, more they bring to it. The next time I go through Baba Kama, so I'm going to know much better when I hit the sugi of Bor Tes Roshul Yud, and I've already learned it in the second and third parak. So I'm going to understand it differently. I'm going to have a different kalim to understand it. So that's the simcha. The simcha is I now have kalim, I now have tools. Shlema Melech. The simcha wasn't, he was now the Chacham Mikol Adam. Simcha was that going further, he's going to have insights and understandings of Yishuv Das that have ability, wellsprings of Emuna, wellsprings of Bitochen they didn't have before. So that's the Simcha of Gomer Shul Torah. That's what we catch when we say the Hadrons, right? We're not saying it's not a negative statement. Hadron means the Simcha that I have right now is that next time I have the opportunity to learn Bava Kama, it's going to be a different language. So that's the insight of this Rambam. Good. Let's go a little bit weiter in the sugya. So the next piece of the sugya, the next line of the Mishnah, is Shavei Kesef. Right? Shum Kesef, Shavei Kesef. Shavei Kesef, the Mishnah says, the Gemara says, what does Shavei Kesef mean? Why is the Gemara pointing out Shavei Kesef, a cryptic Mishnah? The Gemara says the Shavei Kesef is teaching us a din found in a Braisa. Shavei Kesef Melabed. And interestingly, in this case, apparently, there's a braisa that actually addresses this phrase, the Tana Rabbanan. What is Shavei Kesef? The din of Shavei Kesef is she'ein beis din diskokin alachos mishis on achrayis. So when you get to the end of the sugya, so we know what is this din of Shavei Kesef? It's that if a mazik dies, and the nizik now has to go to the estate to the yisayimim, so based in Niskokin Linachosim Shesan Achrayas, the real estate that is part of the estate now becomes the place where the Nizik collects his Dimei Hezek. That's din number one. Din number two, Avolim Kodam Nizik Vitofas Metaltalin based in Goivin Loy Mehem. If the Nizik grabbed property from the mazik before he was nifter, So then, Beis Din will deal with that collection and figure out how much he's able to keep. Right, that's the maskana of the sugya. The balance of the sugya quotes this phrase, Malavit she'ein Beis Din nizkakin l'chasu sheb nachrayis. And then the first thing that the Gemara develops is, well, why should Shavik Kesef, why should that mean that you're collecting from real estate? So the Gemara, that's the first thing. It's a linguistic question. Why should Shavik Kesef mean real estate? The Gemara has two suggestions and dismisses both, because both of those suggestions would say that Shavik Kesef should not just be Karka, it should be Avodim and Shtaris as well. Halacha divides up property assets for different halachas in different ways. There's the overarching division between metaltalin and real estate. There's the Xeris HaKosov that compares Avodim to Karkois, because you can understand that Avodim do not fit well into metaltalin, because Avodim means you are gaining rights. You're gaining rights to the service of a person, and Karkois and Shtorois also. Shtorois is representative value. When you sell a shtar, so you're selling the rights, you're selling zchuyas to collect. So the different kinds of assets. So the Gemara says that Shavei Kesef must be referring to a different kind of asset other than Kesef. Gemara says it's real estate. Gemara explains why should the word Shavei Kesef mean real estate. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion that Shavei Kesef means real estate because it's something which is not Kesef. It's anti-Kesef, so to speak. Then the Gemara says that to say that Beis Din goes to the property of the Mazik goes against a Yesodistic Ebraisa, Yoshiv Lerabois Shove Kesef Afilu Subin, that you can collect from it Altalin. So the Gemara says that's not Pshat. Shot in this particular line of Shavei Kesef is the din of Yosemite. All right? So we're not going to go into the three blat that discuss collecting funds. We're going to zero in just on this particular din of Yosemite, our particular sugya. We see what principles we can derive from it and what this particular sugya is teaching us, and then go by it. Right? So the first point that is very important to notice is that Rashi explains something that you've probably learned several times, that when Rashi explains that real estate is anti-Kesef, that it's Shavik as opposed to Kesef, is because Kesef is much more easily monetized, right? Just by way of correction. The way we've been using the word monetized the last few days is not correct. Just in case you're a Sisyphus person, I wouldn't want you to mess up on the test because I was using it in the corrupt fashion. But the word monetized means to turn into money, right? I just wanted to to express the idea of evaluating and getting market value in a easier way. But the way it's used now is actually to turn something into money. So metaltalin are more easily monetized than karka. Right? Why is that? The Gemara Tavrashi explains, because metaltalin you can take to any market, and real estate has a very set market. All right? We're not talking about the 21st century. We're not talking about when people are managing real estate in Arizona from their office in Teaneck. So that's a it's different now. Would it change the din? Sarachi and Gadol, would it change the din under abundance? All right. But with the point in the Gemara's time, and the emphasis is that it could be that with internet sales, it could be that Metalvlin does have the edge of finding markets over real estate, even if not as that. But going back to what the Gemara is saying that when it comes to Metalvlin, the great advantage of Metalvlin is that I can find the market. I can take the object to any market. So I will be able to monetize it. And I will be able to get to the highest value, taking into account the tirch involved in selling. When it comes to real estate, totally limited. Right? I'm limited to my particular shchuna. Who's interested in this piece of property? Only the locals. Right? Again, different mindset. So the point is that if I need to fix the dent in my car, and you give me real estate, tircha yaseira, until I actually get the dent fixed. But if you give me metaltalin, all right, so I'll find the market. So that's why real estate is the most anti-kesef. Kesef over la soicher, currency, is the easiest way to get value. The easiest way to negotiate a deal is currency. Real estate is the hardest way to negotiate. Now, in terms of value, it doesn't matter. Because the Beis Din will take everything into account. They'll take in all the tircha that has to be employed to monetize the metalton, to monetize the karka. So, value is going to be the same. If you have to travel to a yerid, to a marketplace, and you're certain expenses, that will all be taken away. So, value will be the same. But the tircha and the time that it takes to get the dent in your car fixed, that probably will not be taken into account. So, when the Mishnah says Shavei Kesev, Chazal are saying they're choosing the item which is most distant from Kesev, the thing which has the greatest label of being called Shavei Kesev, the thing which is hardest to turn into currency. Currency is over la soicher. I can get what has to be done most quickly. Shavei Kesev is the other end of the spectrum, the thing that is most Shavei Kesev, the least Kesev. So in Eved, I can schlep to a slave market. Shtaris, I can sell to anybody. I can sell after a lady in shul. But when it comes to karka, it's a very set group of people who want to buy a piece of land in a very certain shchuna. All right, that's the point. That's the point of it. Now, our sugya is saying the next step. Our sugya is saying that we are not discussing the normal course of events where the nizik goes to the mazik and says pay, and the mazik has currency, doesn't have currency. That I pointed out in some of the marmakomis. We're not going to go into that. That's the Yad Ramah, that the Nebuchadnezzar quotes. What is the order of collection? Not our sugya. Right? That is a whole sugya. What is the order of collection? Who gets to choose the mazik, the nizik? Not a sugya right now. Our sugi is one nakuda. The mazik dies. Where does the nizik go when the mazik dies? That's our sugi. So our sugi says that when the mazik dies, the nizik has two possible courses of recourse. One possible is if he was fortunate enough to have raided the property of the mazik. If he's fortunate enough to have sold something to the mazik and not delivered it yet. Right? If he's fortunate enough to be a car repair guy and the mazik happens to have a car in his shop. So he was tough as Mechayev. Sounds like it was not a legitimate tfisa. It wasn't done with Beis Din. Beis Din wasn't involved until now. It so happens when the mazik dies, he has stuff that really belongs to the Yorshim. But he has it. It's Metaltalin. He can tell the Beis Din, I want you to take this car and get my choiv, my value from this car. I happen to have promised that I would deliver 5 barrels of wine. He happens to have paid for it. Maybe made a kinyan on it. Right? It really belongs to the estate. I did a tfisa on it. It happened to happen. I can tell Beis Din Yisoyimim, I can't go to Yisoyimim and get money. I can't get currency. It belongs to Yisoyimim. It belongs to, there's no obligation for them to pay up. But we'll come back to discuss that. But I can get either real estate from the Yisoyimim, or I can get the Tfisa Mechaim. That's the din. Question, what's the hezber of this din? Why am I so limited? Why is it either the Yisoyimim owe it, or they don't owe it? Right? Either the hezek of the father should travel down, or it doesn't travel. What's trapped? The hezek of the father travels down to these two specific ways. What's hezber adomer? So the Tosfos opens up the sugya for us. Tosfos says, "V'yasmei v'mtoimer l'rav u'shmul de'islu perik get poshut kuf ayem bei shibuda lab de'raisa u'mil v'alpeloi govu mishorshin afil nochos v'sheishon achrais ein nizkakin." Tosfos says, at first glance, this sugya only fits into one side of the huge machlokes. Huge machlokes, shibuda de raisa, shibuda lab de raisa. All right, let's explain shibuda de raisa first. Shibuda de raisa means the machlokes in bavasu kuf ayin emu beis. The halacha is, as we mentioned yesterday, that if I lend Shimon money, and there's it's a documented loan, then Shimon has to come back to me and collect from my currency. No currency, he collects from my metaltlin. No metaltlin, he collects from my karka. What happens if I've divested all of my property except for that which I need to live with? I have nothing. So then, if it is a non-documented loan, they got to sit and wait till I earn some money. It pays them to issue a garnish future earnings. But if I have had property and I sold the property, it's called lekuchos, so then they can go after lekuchos. That's the din. What is the din based on? So there are two sources, two mahalchim in the Gemara. One is that there's a din of shibuda de'raisa, which means that min haTorah, when I lend Shimon money, all of my assets become guarantors for that money. That's what the Gemara calls in Bava Basra, become Areven, min haTorah. And therefore, the Malve can come and collect from whatever he wants, and when I sell my property, that shibud goes with that property, and the malva can follow the property and go to lekuchos and collect it. That's shibuda de'raisa. Chazal made a rule called pseida de lekuchos. Chazal made a rule that if the loan was not documented, then the malva messed himself up by not creating a loan with a document. And therefore, and if we allow non-documented loans to have implicit liens against property, no one is going to buy property. Because if every time I buy property, I run the risk of somebody knocking on my door and saying, the father, the grandfather, lent me money. He was mazik me. He owes me. He didn't pay for a certain bill. I worked for him for 10 years. I painted his house. He didn't pay me. So who's going to buy property? Say the lekuchos. You don't buy property, you don't buy and sell property, then that means you're one of the basic assets a human being has, he can never monetize. It slows down and can kill the ability to do nekach u'memka. So Chazal made a din that even though me din de'raisa, all of my property has a lien against it, meshuvah. And even though when my property travels to somebody else, it is still meshuvah. So Chazal made a rule that when it comes to non-documented loans, the shiba doesn't travel b'chlal, When it comes to documented loans, the Shiva travels with property. In other words, the one thing that you can track and trace will allow the Shiva to go with that. The talisman, maybe a track and trace when the guy sold his laptop. You're going to chase that down. You're going to chase down when he sold a juice farm. Documented loans, the lekuach, the purchaser. The Gemara says documented loans have koilis, people know what's going on. And therefore, it's an easy thing to track and to trace. And if the guy didn't track and trace it, he becomes achroi. And therefore, if you hold Shibuta Deiraisa, that's why the mal, the love or the nizik can knock on the door of the purchaser and can knock on the door of the assignment. Because the Shibuta Deiraisa means Mideiraisa. The Mideiraisa, all the property, when it went to the assignment, has a lien against it. So the Yisraelim did not really inherit all of this money. They inherited the money minus the debt and liability. All right? That, of course, raises the question, why do we cut any slack for Tafas Mechai? Says Taisvez, but what about if we hold Shibuta Lav Deiraisa? We pass in Shibuta Deiraisa. Most of the Rishonim say Shibuta Deiraisa. But, as you see from Tosfos, there's a very robust view called Rav and Shmuel, Pasuk Shmuel Olam Deiraisa. And it would make sense for the Gemara to try to figure out according to both Shmuel. What's Shibud Olam Deiraisa? Shibud Olam Deiraisa means that Min HaTorah, when I lend somebody money, the Torah does not place as she would a lien against all my property. My assets are not an arev. I should pay back because priya's bal choy mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to pay back money. There's a mitzvah to lend money. There's a pay back money. There's a mitzvah to pay back gezel. There's a mitzvah to pay back nizokin. There's a mitzvah. Shamdik mitzvahs. But it's not a shivud. So if shivud lav deiraisa, Gemara says that no one is going to lend anybody any money. Why should lend a guy money? Me, Yedea, my Yelid Yoim, guy dies, finished. I'm not getting money. A guy divests himself of his property, done. So we understand now, without lending people money, the economy can't function. All right? You're limited, that you only can buy and sell with what you have. The Gemara's time wasn't like that. The Gemara's time was Shleitin Olosuf Neilovin. To lend money was an essential part of the way people did stock and people took care of other people. They had extra money, they weren't using it, they didn't have CDs, they didn't have stock markets. You had extra money, you lend it to somebody, he should use it. When you need it, they'll give it back to you. Right? Gemachs. So, being able to borrow and lend is such a fundamental part of the way because Baruch Hu sees our system going, that if people are going to hesitate from lending money, right, so then, like during Shemitah, Gemara Torah says, don't hesitate. But if I can't, if I have no recourse, a guy could the investment of all of his assets, I have nothing to get from. So then people won't lend money. So therefore Chazal said that we can't make all of your assets a guarantor for a loan because then you will not be able to sell any of your assets. No one's going to buy anything from you. So we're just going to kill the economy. What we'll do is, when it comes to nechosim, real estate, that you can document, that you can search and do a title search, and you can follow through, that's going to be an orev. Good. So Gubasa Taisva says, if you hold Shibud Olam Deiraisa, what does it have to do with your Satan, though? The Taisus have an Akimta. Taisus says it means the Mazik went to Beis Din already. So he went to Beis Din already, and therefore he really does owe him the money already. Okay, so again, what we've accomplished so far is we opened up this huge sugi of Shvuta Deiraisa, Shvuta Lav Deiraisa, and we pointed out how our sugya has to encompass two approaches, but we have to finish up without, it won't take us too long, to finish up to understand this particular din of Yisayman. We'll try to explain a little bit deeper what's the machlekes of Shvuta Deiraisa, Shvuta Lav Deiraisa, two different systems, and then to explain according to Shiba Deiraisa, we understand why the Yisayimim, why one collects real estate from the Yisayimim, but why Tfisa Mechayim? I happen to have the car that belonged to the Gafam before he died, as well. He died. That's part of the Yerusha. The new Balabas is the Yisayimim. Who says I can now tell the Bezin, because I happen to have the guy's car, I happen to have his barrels of wine. What does that change the equation? That's what we understood. Right? And if you hold Shibuda Lade Raisa, so you have to understand, and then you have to understand whether we're assuming correctly that part of the takona of Shibuda De Raisa, Shibuda Lade Raisa affected Yisayimim, tells you to say not so. And whether we're limiting ourselves to a case of Omad Bedin, where the man, before he died, he owes me the money, and then understand how that now becomes transferred to the property of the Yisayimim, or to something that possibly was Tevis Mechaim. So Mitzvah on Sunday, we'll wrap up and explain these loose ends. Okay? Yeah.